Now today in our study we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul gives Timothy three exhortations in this chapter. And we'll begin with the first one in verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 4. We'll read this and then move on. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As he writes to say, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So here's a strong word of exhortation to Timothy about his top priority. And it is simply this: preach the word. This is a very important matter for the pastor to know. His top priority is to preach the word. Now, this exhortation is important for today because so many pastors are distracted by many, many other things, and their time of study and to work in the word of God becomes limited because they have so many programs and so many people that they neglect the word of God. Timothy, preach the word and do so with authority. The word of God is not filled with suggestions or theories. It is filled with statements of truth. Preach the word with authority and make no apology for the truth of God's word. Preach the word not only with authority but with diligence. Give yourself to the study, to the prayer, and to the work of digging out truth, to the work of proper interpretation and how to view all the word of God. With diligence, Timothy, work in the word of God. And then he says, preach the truth, preach doctrinal content, because it will save people from falling into error. And this, again, is one of the missing elements in church life today. The sermons are aimed at entertaining people and causing them to feel happy and to feel good, rather than doctrinal truth. So many Christians do not begin to know their position in Christ. If you ask them to write a paragraph on these subjects, not very many of them could do it. Can you write a paragraph on redemption, on reconciliation, on regeneration, on reconciliation by faith, on election, on grace? So not many people can do that because they are not being taught today doctrinal content, and therefore they are gullible to all kinds of error and deception. So Timothy, preach the word. top priority. Don't give in to other distractions. Make that your goal and aim. Now, Paul lists a reason for doing this in these first few verses. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, turn their ears away." What are itching ears? It's the idea that they become discontented with biblical teaching, and they are seeking entertainment. They're curiosity seekers, looking for something new or different, and turning away. Now, this is a problem today. If you just preach the Word of God, you may not have a large church. You may not have a church that is well known or popular. But anyway, we are to preach the Word regardless of the response. And God uses His Word for His own glory. So we need to be careful today that we don't fall into the trap of attempting to be popular rather than being true to the Word of God. And even in Paul's day, there was a turning away. And in our day, we see that very much. So the first exhortation is, Timothy, preach the Word with authority, with faithfulness, with doctrinal content, because people will have itching ears and will be susceptible to all kinds of false teaching and deception. Now in verse 5 through 8, he gives Timothy another exhortation, and it is this: be faithful in your ministry, verses 5 through 8. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Timothy, be faithful in your ministry. It's an interesting thing here that Paul includes in that ministry to do the work of an evangelist. And while we teach the Word of God, and while we work our way through the Bible, teaching book by book, we must never lose sight of the fact of the matter of salvation, of preaching the gospel so that people can hear the truth and be saved. Salvation is vital. We're dealing with eternal destiny, and we must do the work of an evangelist, which is to center in on the saving of souls, of seeing people brought to faith through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And then Paul brings up his own perspective, and indicating, Timothy, you don't really have a long, long time here to do this work. He's talking about his own life. Now, the time of my departure is at hand, and you will carry on along with others. So Paul was telling Timothy about his perspective on life at this point, to remind him that time is short. We ought to live that way every day because we do not really know the time of our departure. Consider each day as important. Time was short. Time is short. We only have today. And then he thought of his life as an offering. An offering to the kingdom of God. An offering to the work of God. An offering to the glory of God. I give my life as a sacrifice for the Word of God, for the preaching of the Word of God, for doing the work of an evangelist, for serving in the church. I give myself as an offering, which is a marvelous way to look at life and to look at ministry. We're giving our life to the kingdom of God and to his work. Now, in a sense, he says, his departure is welcome. Paul gives no indication of any fear of death. And that is how every Christian should view this thing. We are not afraid of death. In fact, it presents to us great opportunities. He's looking forward to the crown of righteousness, which not only he will receive, but all those who love the appearing and look for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a special reward where some Christians are placed above others or receive rewards that others do not receive. This is the crown of righteousness which is given through regeneration to all believers. That's why his departure is a welcome thing for Paul. Now, this passage of Scripture is very interesting in that it is probably the basic text for Christian funerals, and it is used quite often at the Christian funeral. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There are 3 points there for a sermon. Fighting the good fight, finishing the race, and keeping the faith. The issue in living the Christian life is the matter of faith, of trusting God in every experience of life, of giving God the credit and the glory for anything good that may come out of our ministry, of trusting God for through the difficulties and the hardships and the trials and the heartaches of ministry, and to trust God at those times. The question is, will we trust him? And Paul is saying he kept the faith. And so for us, here is a question. Will we keep the faith? That is, the faith that has been given to us through all the experiences of life. So here is a second exhortation. Be faithful in your ministry so that when the time of your departure comes, you can say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. May God grant it to us. Now in verses 9 through 22, we have a third exhortation. That is to be diligent to come to Paul. That's the historical purpose here, that Timothy is to take a trip and to be with Paul. Verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every good work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Putus, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. So here is Paul's closing word to Timothy in this chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Paul is arranging a plan for Timothy to come to him. And he's saying, come to me quickly. Now, we don't know all the reasons for this desire to come quickly, and yet there's the implication that because of others not being with Paul, he needs Timothy for to come to him. And notice quickly in verse 10, he has said, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And here is a thing that is experienced in ministry. In verse 18, Paul says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. And in working in the ministry, we learn that as we spend time with people, as we work with people one-on-one and pour our heart out to them and give our time and energy, that not all respond well, that some will forsake and depart and leave us. Demas has departed. Demas is gone. And what was his reason? Having loved this present world. That's why John writes in the first letter, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If we're going to engage in ministry, and if we're going to travel with people like Paul, we have to give our life to it. And we can't live on the fence and try to live in the world on one hand and to be a Christian on the other. So Demas came to the point where the worldly life was more important to him than the work of Christ. Not all are faithful, and Demas is just an example. And now Paul has only Luke is with me. And he wants Timothy to go get Mark, who at one point was a dropout, but now Paul sees something valuable in him, and so he's asked for Timothy to bring Mark, and he needs this support, and we all need that. We are not in this alone. We need the support of others, their help, their prayer, their encouragement, and the standing together. We should not ever consider ourselves alone in ministry, but work to build a team. A pastor needs a team, a people to do the work of the ministry. No one can do this alone. And the pastor has to learn to be a good delegator. He has to give people responsibilities, and then he has to learn to allow those people to carry out their responsibilities without him interfering or being too controlling, to build a faithful team. One example in history currently is the Billy Graham team. It's been interesting to me through the years of this Billy Graham association, that Cliff Barrows and George Beverly Shea and T.W. Wilson and other people have been a team. And for all we know, they have been a team of unity. And each has their place and their role. And they fulfill that role faithfully. And as far as can be known, there has been no discredit to them. They have been clean and pure. And they have worked together as a team. Every pastor needs a team of faithful men who will stand together in the work and the ministry. Demas has departed. Now, one of the reasons for Paul's anxiety for Timothy to come quickly, it seems like his next hearing was near. He says that at his first hearing, nobody stayed with him. They all forsook him. So it looks like this next hearing is coming up, and Paul wants Timothy and Mark and Luke to be with him. In verse 18, he begins to talk about the perils that he went through. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Well, it's we don't have time to think of all that Paul went through, but he gives a list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 of all the danger and the peril and the persecution he experienced for the sake of the gospel. And as we look at life, and in a sense, we're dealing somewhat with the public and with all kinds of people who may come to Bible study or churches. We cannot expect that everything will be pleasant, but we are going to face some conflict, some controversy, some debate, some outright opposition. And so Paul is reviewing that to say, he could say, the Lord has delivered me and will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his kingdom. And he says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And the message continued to go out to the Gentiles, which was the primary calling of the apostle. In verses 19 and so on, he continues with this list of fellow laborers. And this is an interesting thing. Read Romans 16, and you get a longer list of people who worked with Paul, whom he knew personally, and what he knew about them. This is a very important thing for Christian leaders. That's why a large church makes it very difficult to have a personal ministry. Paul knew the names, and he knew a great deal about all the people who worked with him. This is very important for the pastor to have a personal interest and personal care for the people around him. And he speaks of Priscilla and Aquila and Onesiphorus, Erastus, Trophimus, all these people. And they are his team, and they have worked with him in various areas, and they don't all stay right there with Timothy and Paul, but they are farmed out to various areas of missions, and yet they remain a team. So here is a list of fellow workers for whom Paul is very thankful. And then he closes out in verse 22 this farewell message. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful desire Paul had for Timothy. For the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. What a wonderful thing that is in the Christian life when we greet one another. Grace and peace be unto you. And when that spirit is continued throughout our experience, and at the close of our relationship, we can say to each other, grace be with you. Grace is what we need. Grace is vital and necessary to us every day of our life. And so this is a wonderful benediction that Paul gives to Timothy. Grace be with you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great message recorded for us in the book of 2 Timothy, and how much it teaches us about serving you and serving the church, and how to be with fellow laborers in the Lord. Thank you for the priorities listed here that teach us how to go about having a healthy church, a church that counts for your glory. Thank you for the message of 2 Timothy chapter 4 with these exhortations to Timothy. And thank you for this wonderful farewell. Grace be with you. We pray for that for ourselves this morning. Lord, may your grace rest upon our life and be in us in a special way as we seek to serve you. Bless this truth, this word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.